Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the connection between love and desire as a contradiction of terms misunderstood when seen from the perspective of material sense. Listen as we discuss desire as a catalyst in the world of mental energy and a barrier to the kingdom of heaven on earth. Buddhism tells us there are only two times one suffers: when they don't get what they want or are exposed to what they don't want. The origin of all suffering is personal desire. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and become motivated by divine grace. Swami, the title of today's show is The Shadow of Love is Desire. Let's first talk about love in this model. What is it to us?
Well, in this model, love is one of those words that can be interchanged with the idea of God. And I really like what Mary Baker Eddy did as she created seven words that she could use to interchange: principle, soul, life, love, mind, truth, and spirit. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about what we'll call the shadow of love, which could be translated as the shadow of life. Then we'll introduce this idea of desire, because the main intention for this show is to create separation between the false sense of existence and the truth of being, and recognize that most, if not all of us, are mistaking the false for the real. It's valuable to be able to know the difference and then live out from the true and experience the benefits of the divine principle instead of the torments of karmic law.
Well, what I really like about the title is the shadow of love. So you were saying that love could be another word for God in this model. So what would be the shadow of God?
Well, again, I think love is one of those all-encompassing words that means anything to anybody. And when you are involved in divine science, you have to be very exact in your understanding of terms, because these are direct experiences. The words here are the map, but we're really looking for the experience. And of course, the experience we're looking for is to reveal the truth. We're starting out with a principle: life is perfect, and it can't be anything less than perfect. And yet, what we're experiencing is imperfection. Life is eternal. And what we're experiencing is a finite mortal existence. And so there's a real conflict here. And if we don't make this separation, if we don't know the difference between the truth and the false sense of existence, chances are we remain in the trap, what in Kriya Yoga we call avidya, ignorance. We're mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. This becomes the origins of all of our problems. And I really like the idea of desire and what we had said. Buddhism tells us that there are only two times one suffers. Buddhism is an incredible philosophy about suffering, what causes it, and how to eliminate it. And of course, it's presented in the Four Noble Truths, the Eightfold Path, the 12 Interdependent Origins, which really unboxes and looks a lot like the Kriya Yoga that we teach.
So when you're talking about mistaking the false for the real, so the false would be this physical existence that we are accustomed to, and the real is this other infinite realm that would be from God?
Yeah, and you really want to start to understand it, I want to say more simplistically. You've got a physical world, a world of what is visible and tangible. You've got a mental world, which is invisible but tangible, the world of thought, energy. And then you've got a spiritual universe, the spiritual world, which is invisible and intangible. What we've learned is the only one that's real is the spiritual universe. And when we talk about the shadow of love is desire. And I think most of us identify with the desire, but we're looking at the shadow. And just like when your reflection appears on the ground in front of you, you know there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in that appearance. And after a while, you start to recognize things like the shadow of love. The real love is unconditioned, it's pure, unchanging, perfect, eternal, harmonious. It has all the qualities of the divine. Peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, temperance, patience. And when we look at desire, we look at all of the things that we associate with what we're calling love, and you can really start to see how we've gone astray collectively.
When you're talking about to experience the benefits of the divine principle, what does that look like to you?
Yeah, the divine principle is the unified state of existence. It's perfect, it's whole, it's complete. There's no fear in truth. There's no lack, limitation, suffering, sickness, disease. It has all the fruits of the Spirit. Again, the peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, temperance. And anything that doesn't have those qualities, you begin to understand it differently. You realize it's not real. And what we mean by that, it's not backed by the divine principle. It is a thought, it's mental energy, it's a shadow, a reflection. But if we react to it, what gives it the appearance of existence is belief. Our belief in something that does not have divine qualities gives it a life it does not have.
Well, you use that phrase, torments of karmic law, and I think that word torment is pretty powerful. Can you explain to us what that might look like?
Yeah, I think to explain that, I really like to refer to 1 John 4, and I'll look up some of it. Hold on. This is 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. End of quote. Yeah, I agree with you that the word torment, it just really reminds me of that word suffering. What we're learning here is that fear is the defense mechanism for this false sense of self. We believe that we're mortal. We believe that we were born in a physical form and that this particular lifetime has an expiration date. Now, this perfect love that John is talking about here is what we call the divine creation. And as Jesus told us, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This perfect divine creation is right here, it's right now. But if we continue to turn our back to it, if we deny its presence and we insist on what it is that we are experiencing in the outside world as real, then we continue to perpetuate this. And that's why in yoga we call it the cycle of death and rebirth. But at some point, you want to let go of your belief in what isn't real. And when you do that, you want a very clear understanding of what is real. Because in that same work, 1 John 4, and I'll read it, he gives you a caution in the very beginning. He says, "Beloved, believe it not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." End of quote. And again, this is something that we really talk about because when you're going from what is visible and tangible, matter, you move into the realms of mind. Matter really is the manifestation of this mortal mind. And so in the realms of mind, you've gone from what's visible and tangible to what is invisible but tangible. If you don't have a clear understanding of what spirit is, to know God aright, then it's very easy to latch on to something that's invisible but tangible. Thought, concepts, beliefs, theories. These human fabrications fall under the heading of what he's talking about, false prophets. Something I remember growing up with was a saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. There's a lot of human advice out there that doesn't lead to the truth. And so you really want to try what it is that you're doing. You want to work with your concepts, your theories, your beliefs. And this was, again, why I really like Christian Science, the way that Mary Baker Eddy taught it, because she put healing on the table. Spirit is a demonstrable principle. It's a law. But what we're learning is you must be conscious of it. And being conscious of it is very different than thinking about it. When you are thinking, you are in the realms of concept. There's no power in concept. You need to have this primary relationship. You must understand the unity of oneness. And in order to do that, you have to come out of this false sense of self.
By coming out of the false sense of self, is this what stops the torment of karma?
Well, actually, what stops the torment of karma is the realization life is perfect. I am the reflection of an indestructible principle. I am made in the image and likeness of the perfection of being. And of course, when you start to try and figure this out, we're trying to do it from the perspective of identity is bound up in a physical body. And we're also working with a mortal mind. And the tendency sometimes is to try and get rid of these things. But what we have been talking about is these are the sentinels that are the witnesses for the divine creation. You use your mind-body complex as the check engine light on the dashboard of consciousness. So your body is telling you what you are conscious of. And if you're experiencing fear, worry, lack, limitation, sickness, suffering, disease, you know you are not conscious of this divine truth. And the command in the Bible was repent, which can be translated as think differently or turn. The idea of turning back to who you were before you accepted mortality. And in Kriya Yoga, we're learning how to employ strategies in order to really induce this God experience.
Well, listeners, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor, so we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, in the opening, we were going to discuss desire as a catalyst in the world of mental energy and a barrier to the kingdom of heaven on earth. Let's first talk about desire as a catalyst in the world of mental energy. What does that look like?
Yeah, I think a lot of times we can use that fear kind of as a motivator. Kriyananda used to say it was the ouch effect. Nothing can get you off of a couch quicker than if you sit on a tack. Karmic law is the love of God. It's the wrath of God is the love of God, because it will not let us accept anything less than who we really are, the image and likeness of the divine. And so when we have pain, discomfort, instability, lack, limitation, these can be motivators for some of us. And you can use that as a catalyst. But one of the things I grew up with was a saying, one person's food is another person's poison. As we develop in spiritual understanding, we see how levels of consciousness and degrees of awareness are factors in determining outcomes. As an individual splits from a belief in matter into a belief in mortal mind, there is a lateral shift in consciousness that produces change. The major takeaway here should be the body. Matter is a mental image. The physical is a manifestation of the mental. And how one thinks is what they become. At this level of consciousness, love and desire can be interchangeable terms. The law of attraction or physics, stating like attracts like. Now, we move towards whatever it is that we want, whatever it is that we desire, whatever we think is valuable, is what we are attracted to. In fact, we have something here from the Bible, Matthew 6:19-24. Why don't you read it?
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. That was the end of the verse.
A real clue that Jesus gives us here, for me anyway, is the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Now, the difference between thinking and knowing, the difference between forming thoughts and opinions based on information coming through our material senses and information coming in through the divine creation, the difference between thoughts and ideas. One is rational and dualistic. So the idea of thine eye be single is really where you are now above duality. You are no longer seeing with your two material eyes, but you are seeing with your spiritual sense. And spiritual sense only sees the divine creation, this idea of light, spiritual light. And like Jesus is trying to tell us here, we can't be both. We can't be material or mental material energy and divine spiritual substance. So we need to make a choice. Basically, it comes down to, am I going to live out from the testimony of my material senses, or am I going to accept spiritual identity?
So, Swami, I'm wondering, the spiritual identity, does this have to do with laying up for ourselves the treasures in heaven? I think we understand what treasures upon the earth might mean in this verse, but could you just maybe give a better explanation for us?
Yeah, when you're trying to understand spiritual ideas in finite material terms, there's always something lost in translation. The idea of laying up treasures in heaven is not the same as saving money in a bank. Spirit is whole, it's complete, it's fulfilled. There's nothing that ever has to be added to it or taken away from it. When we accept spiritual identity, there's no fear, there's no possibility there could ever be even a want in spiritual identity. Life is perfect, whole, complete. And when we live under the command or under the law of this divine principle, we don't want for anything. Now, when you're living out from your material sense of self and lack, limitation, seem to be your reality because you believe in two powers. You believe in life and death. You believe in gain and loss. But spirit is whole. It's eternal. It always was. It always will be. You're out of time, space, concept, belief. The idea here is you rest in the knowledge. But you must be sure what you are calling spirit is the one true spirit. Like we say, spirit is a demonstrable principle. To be conscious of spirit is to not want anything. But if you're working with a concept of spirit, the false prophet mentioned in 1 John 4. That's a problem, because we must be conscious of this divine principle in order to demonstrate, in order to experience it. And there's no power in just believing in that. We must be conscious of it. And if you're not conscious of it, you walk defenselessly among these non-existent powers that will seem to kill you.
Well, earlier, Swami, we had talked about the origin of all suffering as personal desire. And I'd like to talk maybe a little bit more about that. We know that in the Bible, you know, Jesus tells us to take no thought for what you shall eat, what you shall wear, and so on. So how do we know if we have desire or if we have needs? And how does that relate to the suffering that we talk about?
Well, here's what you're starting to learn is you have a belief in a false sense of self. Fear is the defense mechanism for this false sense of self. So if you have a desire, you have a belief in something other than the allness of God. And one of the things that oftentimes happen with this is people try and stop desiring, give up the desire, or even sometimes pretending that I don't want for anything, which in that case you're abstaining, which may offer you some sort of relief for what's going on. But it's not the true solution. The idea here is really what Jesus says, to love God. When we have the right feeling associated with the right symbol, oftentimes this idea of desire comes from the false sense of self, and we have needs at this level, and we react, we're hypnotized. But as we start to grow and we refine our unnecessary dependencies and we replace them with what we will call necessary dependencies, we begin to grow psychologically and spiritually, until eventually you internalize this invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence is your source of joy. It is what gives you life. Now the panel's wired. You have the right symbol associated with the right feeling. And from that level, you're no longer abstaining. You're actually indulging yourself. And the panel's wired, the lid is off, sky's the limit, because you are walking in the kingdom of heaven on earth.
Now, Swami, is that what you mean when you use the phrase, become motivated by divine grace?
Yeah, see, what happens with this is you come out of this personal will, and you let divine mind take over the scientific government of your body. When you're operating from that level of personal sense, when you do things, you have a belief in two powers, so you can do things for good or for bad. But when divine truth is expressing itself through you, things can only happen for good.
Well, we're going to end our show right here, so listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On the homepage, when you see the Fading Banner Blog Talk Radio, click it, directs you to its catalog page. Click the products tab, then online classes, directs you to all the classes that Swami has available. Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and become motivated by divine grace. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.